You are listening to a Student Radio Association podcast.
Hello, this is Ant from Abrupt Audio. We've put this little podcast together to give you a flavour for what happened at the SRA Day South East, hosted by Victory Radio at the University of Portsmouth in February. Coming up, we hear some of the reasons why you should be going to SRAcon, plus we catch up with some of the speakers from the day. James Stodd, Group Production Director at Celador Radio, and Emma Jones, Drive Presenter at Fire in Bournemouth. But we start with someone who managed to go from student radio to presenting on BBC Radio 1.
Okay, so my name's Tom Deacon. I'm a comedian, first and foremost, a presenter, radio DJ. Many moons ago, I did a show on Radio 1, which was Sunday night, which started out as the 5:19 show on Radio 1. And then I moved on to do a Wednesday night show, which was an hour of my fellow comics going on and talking about irreverent stuff, basically. So mainly Sunday night show, and then I would fill in for early breakfast or Saturday or Sunday show. That's basically me in a nutshell. Do lots of things, and I've come along today to impart some wisdom that I've learned along the way. There's definitely not 10 commandments of wisdoms I'm going to pass on to people, but the main number one in life, which I strongly live by, is don't be a dick. So that's the number one rule: don't be a dick. And it will really take you far in life. If you're a dick, people remember that, and if you're not a dick and you're nice to work with, people will remember that, and that's always put me in good stead. Whether I've been doing stand-up, I've got an opportunity to be presenting, or esports come along and they're like, do you know who isn't a dick? And they go, who's not a dick? Tom Deacon, he's not a dick. And then hopefully that will pass up. So that's number one commandment, and I think the most important one. I didn't actually start in student radio. A friend of mine had a show when I was at university in Exeter, and he said, would you come along and be on it a couple of times? And I really liked radio, but I didn't set myself out to go and do radio. I didn't think I'd be good enough for it, so I never did until I was able to do a few demos and then got Radio 1. So I'm the anomaly. I got into Radio 1 in the weirdest way. I don't think anything in life is easy, so when Radio 1 said, would you like to come and do a demo for us, I said, of course, and then I was petrified. I went through a couple of t-shirts with sweat and nerves, but eventually bought one that was more absorbent and actually didn't give me the sweats, and I was able to get a demo that they said, yeah, that's great, we'd love to give you a show. So for me, it wasn't easy, went through the process, but it wasn't something I set out to do at an early stage. People often ask me what's the main differences of Radio 1 to Capital, but going from a national radio station to BBC broadcasting to commercial radio. The main difference is links, how long you get to talk. On Radio 1, you can talk pretty much as long as you want, within reason, and it's entertaining and informative. But with commercial radio, you'll finish a link which went on for about 90 seconds and they'll go, you could have cut most of that. We just need to sell Capital Jingle Bell Ball, and we need to tell people the time and what they're listening to and your name. So there is a massive difference with that. But in terms of being in a studio, working with team, with people around you, nothing changes in that respect. The music's a bit different. You won't necessarily hear an actual instrument on Capital, which I missed greatly, but it's still a really good vibe and really good fun to do. I think the more stuff you do, the more interesting you are as a person, and the more varied jobs you've had to do and challenges actually really help you. If you want to be a radio presenter, you've got more stories to draw upon. If you want to be a presenter who's done radio, you know about timing, so you're able to always time check or tell people the weather. That's actually quite, people really love that in Britain. You're able to just have more about you. If you set out to just do radio, that's brilliant, and I wish you all the best of luck, and hopefully you'll find some happiness with that. But at the same time, if you get an opportunity to go and present something or be part of a team going to film something, get on board. The more people you meet, the more networking you do, it will all be beneficial.
Hi, I'm Emma Jones. I'm the current Drive Time presenter at Fire in Bournemouth and Poole. I was at Fly FM from Nottingham Trent University. So, yeah. That's my home turf, the Midlands. Not really though, because I'm clearly quite southern. But in terms of uni time, that's where I came from. So it was quite good actually, because there's a lot of people from Fly FM that have gone on to work in the industry. So there's a really nice kind of support network and people you could go to for advice and people you could get tips off and chat to about things. So that was really, really helpful. So I got to where I got to through student radio, pretty much. So that's how I discovered radio. I'd never done it before, and I joined student radio when I was at university, and I just caught the bug, as they say, and I just loved it, basically. So I just threw myself in at the deep end, and I was deputy station manager, and I was, you know, doing all sorts of events and getting really, really involved. And then I entered the Student Radio Awards when I graduated, and I won Best Female Presenter, which was obviously awesome. And that gave me a massive kind of boost into the industry. And I basically just did a lot of networking, a lot of coffees, a lot of demos, all of that jazz, and just did bits of freelance work for a few years. So I did bits of freelance cover presenting, and then I got a regular show at Juice in Brighton at the weekends. And then off the back of that is how I got this full-time job, because they heard me on Juice and got in touch with me. So I came in and did a week's cover, and they liked what they heard, and here I am, basically. I think maybe it's good to put lots of effort into getting into lots of different kinds of radio stations. I think I sort of maybe overlooked some of the smaller local stations at first, and then once I started looking at them, that's when I started getting my presenting work. So I think I probably should have started doing that earlier on. So I mean, I did stuff at KMFM and at Juice, and now I ended up at Fire. So I think I probably should have gone for that a bit earlier on than I did. But yeah, I think in terms of mistakes, I think that's the main one I can think of. I think I probably should have tried that a bit earlier, but I feel like I sort of did everything that I could. I'd say maybe when you go to student radio events, try not to get too carried away with the booze side of things, which is definitely a mistake I've made before. Just because the next morning you wake up and you're like, oh God, did I do something wrong last night? So obviously go and have fun, but just kind of remember that you are there to network and make a good impression. So do bear that in mind when you are at student events. But you know, have a good time when you're there. Don't be too worried about it. I think in my student radio award entry, I did an advert for a condom delivery service. So that kind of gives you the scope of the kinds of things that you can do in student radio and you can't do in the real world. So yeah, you could definitely have a lot more fun with it. And that's what's great. You just do whatever you want, and that's how you learn what you're good at, and you mess around and you have a great time, and that's how you pick up all your skills and develop your skills as well, because there's kind of no boundaries with it. I definitely recommend that you go to the conference. I think the thing I probably love most about conference is just having so many radio people in one place, both aspiring radio people and professional radio people all there, just because they love radio and they just want to geek out over it, and everyone wants to be in the same place, and it's just so much knowledge in one place. It's just brilliant. Aside from the fact that it's just full of industry people that are there to meet you, They're taking time out of their schedule to be there. They're all very busy people, but they want to meet people from student radio. So to have that opportunity is just great. The fact that you can do a talk and not get a chance to talk to someone afterwards and think, well, it's okay because they're going to be around this evening and I can talk to them then. Just being in that kind of environment is great. You don't have that kind of condensed one moment where you only have a chance to talk to someone because everyone's just hanging around for like 3 days, and it's just so beneficial. And as well as that, it just kind of gets your blood flowing a bit and gets you really inspired being in that sort of environment full of all these people that love radio as much as you do, and going to all these talks and getting all these ideas. It just really spurs you on to go and work in the industry, I think. So it's just, yeah, it's just, I honestly would always tell people to go to the conference. I really would. I think you kind of don't always get it until you actually get there. Like, you know, you've got some of the biggest names in radio in the room. Last year they had talks from James O'Brien, Christian O'Connell, Greg James, who, I don't know, I mean, will he be there this year after this week doing his Gregathlon? I don't know, is he going to make it all the way through? I've been listening to bits of it and it sounds quite tough. But all of these people are there giving advice, and these are like the top of the game, the best in the industry, and they're telling you about the industry and how they got there and their tips. I mean, how could you not want to hear about that? I mean, they're the best people you can hear from. So yeah, and also program controllers that are looking for presenters. That's why they're there. They want to find good presenters. So if you're there like, oh hey, I've got a demo, you know, it's just, yeah, it's so beneficial. Just gotta go. You gotta go. It's so fun as well.
Hi, I'm Abby. I'm the Southeast Regional Officer for the SRA. I think you should come to conference because it is the perfect place to meet hundreds of like-minded individuals and hear from the professionals about everything you need to know in the world of radio. Plus, there's things like Demo Factor and the I Love Student Radio Awards, which never disappoint.
My experience at SRAcon has been absolutely amazing. I've met so many amazing people. I've made friends. I've learned so much from all of the speakers and all of the breakout sessions. I think the conference is an absolute must-do for anyone looking to get into radio. And even if you're not, it's a really, really good opportunity and it's a really great few days.
Hi, I'm Polly. I'm Programme Controller at Surge Radio in Southampton. I was debating going to SRAcon in my first year and I'm so glad I made the decision to go. I made some good contacts, but also some really great friends from other student radio stations around the country. Also, in what other circumstances do you end up at an after party in a gay bar with Greg James?
To get in contact with us, tweet at SRA.
Hello, I'm James Stodd. I'm the Group Production Director at Celador Radio. Well, today they've asked me to essentially run through how I've got to where I am now from where I was back then. So just talking about different places I've worked, the different things I did when I started to get into production, you know, how stuff sounded back then, different ideas I've developed, and you know, lots of audio examples of stuff I've done, really. Because I think there's nothing worse than sitting listening to someone talk and drone on, which I will do quite easily. So play some audio as well to illustrate it and give some ideas is great. And even what we always seem to find is, even if it's an old idea, there's always a new twist you can put on an idea and bring it up to date. And going through the audio for today, you know, I've found various examples of doing the same things that I do now, but in different ways. So it's nice to find different ways of doing it as well. I've got quite a connection from my past for student radio. I was at a station called C4 Radio down in Canterbury, which no longer exists. It became CSR when it combined with the University of Kent. And I did that for 3 years at uni. It was a tiny station, had no budget, was falling to bits, and for one of the years wasn't really broadcasting apart from on speakers in the student union. So probably suffering the same problems as some of the smaller stations still do on and off, although maybe not the resources that some of the bigger stations have nowadays.
And what was your first job in radio?
My first proper job in radio after uni was at a station called Radio Mercury in Crawley, where I sort of ended up doing work experience and staying and never really leaving. And I started there tech-hopping shows, going out to events and sort of helping out in various ways. Then I sort of spent a year or so doing that and freelancing in the newsroom, being a sports reporter. Had no real interest in sports or knowledge in sports, so that wasn't a problem back then. And then eventually became a producer on their AM service, which was mainly sort of speech and a bit of music as well. And so I was lining up guests and editing interviews and doing the stuff you'd probably do in a BBC local radio station these days. When I sort of went to uni and when I started there, I wanted to be a presenter. I mean, I was doing production at uni as well, and I did all of the production for the station, but it wasn't that great because the resources weren't that great. But I, you know, wanted to be a DJ. In fact, weirdly, way back when I was there, my final year at uni, I won the SRA award, the previous SRA awards before they were launched in whenever they were launched, for best presenter. But I listened back to that. I've got the audio. I'm never playing the audio, but it must have been a pretty weak field for me to win, to be fair. So I think when I eventually got the chance to do it, I enjoyed it, but I thought it's not something I wanted to do. I enjoy production far more. I always thought what could have been had I not done something and been somewhere at that time and not a year later. Because when I was at uni, between my second and third year, I had the opportunity to do a summer job, essentially a 3-month summer job at Radio 1, because what they used to do is have a role called, you know, I think it was called like the management runner or something. And essentially my job was to stand down at reception every day when the pluggers came in with their CDs and whatever. I had to deliver them around to all the producers and all of the presenters. If they wanted something doing, if they wanted equipment fetching, if they wanted the schedules taken around, I'd be sent off to do that. If Steve Wright wanted burgers in the afternoon, I was sent off to get those. So it was right in, you know, in the heart of Radio 1, which is where I, you know, the station I always listened to and always wanted to be. And the problem was, at the end of that summer, I then had to go back to uni. And if the logical brain in my head now would have said, stuff it, see if you could get another placement, or they were just starting to have broadcast assistants then, so maybe, you know, I probably would have been able to get in there. But because I went back to uni, I then sort of tried to get another job the next summer and said, hey, I've done it already. So may have been, you know, it's one of those things where you think, well, what could have been? There's lots of other things where I thought, what could have been? And you end up getting something even better out of it. But that's probably my, you know, sort of sliding doors moment. Which way should you have gone? If I'd have gone the other way, then probably I'd have got in there sooner and then gone off and done something else. But then I wouldn't have done all the other things that I've done now as well. So. No, I think there are, as with everything, there are fewer opportunities but more opportunities, which is a bit of a, obviously, a contradiction. So there are fewer opportunities for someone like me, you know, who would have went into Radio Mercury and had this whole station with lots of things I could get involved with, and, you know, help out with tech hopping and doing this and getting my hands dirty. There's not so many of those, but then again, there weren't all the sort of community stations around to enable me to get that same experience and forget it, you know, getting it sooner. And then equally, there was no ability back then to have access to a studio where I could make all this stuff and create this stuff at home. Whereas now, you know, I've got a laptop, I've got software, I've got the world at my sort of fingertips. So actually, there's more opportunities now in that sense to learn how to do stuff, and there are probably more opportunities now with where audio is going in a broader sense, you know. So I think now the number of times you see jobs advertised for, you know, audio producers for The Telegraph or The Independent or, you know, HarperCollins publishers, which actually back, you know, 10 years ago weren't even there. So the field is broadening, but it's not necessarily radio. And I think there still are opportunities in radio if you have the ability to learn and pick up the skills and come to people with, you know, with the skills you've already sort of learned. Well, I think it's equipping yourself with a broadest range of skills. So, you know, I think if someone came to me and didn't have more than basic audio skills, then you've got to teach them everything. But actually, it's that broader sense of I'd probably want people coming in now, we'd probably want them to have the audio skills, but also the ability to, you know, edit videos and make videos and understand how that works. And actually, it's probably more opportunity getting in on the sort of marketing and social media and broader creative role these days, because you have to sort of think in that sort of three-dimensional way of, you know, how's it going to look, how's it going to sound. You know, we don't do a huge amount of video at the moment, but when we do, I'm starting to get involved in, you know, creating the sound for the video and the sound of the video, and then also have a view on the look and, you know, creative sort of ways we can sort of brand that sort of content as well. And it sort of merges together a bit more. So I think there are more skills you probably would want people to have. But equally, you know, you want people with a more musical background and an understanding of that if they want to do sort of audio imaging. But I think that again, those jobs have sort of broadened out as well. There are fewer of them, but the skill level, or the ability to learn the skill level, is sort of higher in some ways. So you need to be able to do things in a faster and smarter way. So there definitely are opportunities. I think there are fewer, but I think there are good ones and, you know, opportunities to learn from good people as well.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. Remember, SRAcon 2018 will be hosted by Livewire at the University of East Anglia from the 4th to the 6th of April. I'll be there with Abrupt Audio, no doubt in the gay club with someone like Greg James and maybe you. If you want to find out more about podcasts and what we do, come join the conversation at podtips.net. See you in Norwich.
To hear more,
go to studentradio.org.uk.